and welcome to Procedurally Generated. I'm Henry Bell, and joining me in studio today are Max Hamilton, Tom Schreier, and John Carson. It was a bit of a slow news week, because we're still stuck in the doldrums of January, but we did get some new information and some opinions on the soon-to-be-released Tom Clancy's The Division. Max, you were pretty affected by a lot of this news that came out, so I want to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, so I've been kind of turned off from Tom Clancy games because of the Rainbow Six game. I was really looking forward to like the Patriots and Homegrown Terrorism. I also
pretend I'm someone who isn't able to tell any of the Tom Clancy games apart. What year are you referring to when you lost interest? Like 2008 to
2010? Oh, I'm sorry. This year, like currently.
Oh, literally. Yeah, sorry, you like said with Vegas, their, and I was thinking.
No, I said Rainbow Six.
Oh, sorry, you said Rainbow Six, and I was thinking Vegas. Yeah, no, that's my
Siege.
Bad. I'm sorry. There's so many.
That's all right. So many games. Confused.
Well, there's so many games under the Tom Clancy
this is true.
Umbrella. Like,
this is
seriously,
true.
There's like four franchises.
So I'm still holding out hope for the new Ghost Recon because that Wildlands, that just blows my mind. I think that's going to be an amazing game. But I wanted to see their take on the Homegrown Terrorism and like counter terrorist units and how they combat that in like the Rainbow Six game that got canceled. And instead we got Siege and, then the Division, I've been kind of on the fence about it. I was never excited about it, but with all the, alpha gameplay that, got released this past week and a bunch of the in-depth articles on what we can expect from the game and things like that, I got super excited and, I was hoping to get super excited. I want to hop on that hype train. So the game, it's going to be a 1-1 recreation of New York City. Originally, they're going to promise now you're not going to be going in a bunch of buildings. It's going to be limited because they're just not there technologically yet. But everything in New York is going to be there. At least that's what they originally told us. Well, now it's going to be restricted initially to not Midway, but the heart of the city. I'm totally drawing a blank on what it's called.
Midtown,
yes. Initially they're going to do, all the surrounding areas and Hell's Kitchen and blah, 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 like all the iconic parts. And they just realized that it would be too big. It would be insane. Take forever. So they're scaling back on that. There's not going to be traditional player versus player. I do like the third person cover shooting. So there's a little bit more, strategy to it for me than in Destiny where it's just run, gun, find some like something to stand behind for cover. But, they kept the bullet sponge in this game where, you know, it works in Destiny because there's aliens or like in a game like Halo or just any game where it's not just like flesh and blood, like, oh, you're wearing armor or you have some magical power or you're
well,
not.
What about something like Borderlands where like there are unshielded enemies
I
who
agree.
Are human?
And that got mentioned in a lot of the videos and articles I was reading. They have overshields and it's cartoony and it's very
well. They don't all have overshields.
No, that's true. But it's supposed to be like
shields.
A cartoony, goofy, just over the top, ridiculous game. I mean, like one of the articles specifically pointed out. I mean, that's a game with like there's a weapon that it mentioned. Like it shoots out flaming swords that explode on impact. Like it's a game that's not meant to be taken seriously. But there's no stretch of the imagination with The Division. It's a bleak tone. It's supposed to be in today's world. The guns are very realistic and customizable.
It's not today, right? It's like near
it's like
future.
Near like
future,
very, yeah. Very near future.
Well, but
though.
Sure, but it's not supposed to be realistic. I mean, any more so than like modern warfare.
Okay,
or sorry,
well,
advanced warfare
here's my these are not supernatural beings. They're just regular humans, and it's basically taking clips upon clips of headshots to take down an enemy, and just like watching it, it looks silly and over the top, and just kind of turns me off to it.
Don't you think balance changes like that are some of the easiest things for them to adjust, like as the game, or like first weeks of the game release,
or
even before
it absolutely is something they can adjust. But if they do adjust the balance, it totally wrecks their current leveling system and progression system. It everything is balanced right now if you don't mind the bullet sponge bosses, but
But that's debatable too. Is like, are there ways to fix?
And not
it? I mean,
just bosses.
All
sorry,
bosses enemies. Are always going to be bullet sponges.
Right. I didn't mean to say boss. I meant enemies.
Sure. I hear where you're coming from. I have a little more faith. I mean, let's remember, this was the first major open alpha that they've done. Or, well, it's closed alpha, but still, like, the first major one where they sent it out to a ton of people. So, I mean, it's still an alpha. They're still at a stage where they can make those kinds of adjustments. But it's an RPG. I mean, have you played, like, any RPG shooter? They all have bullet spongy mechanics at one point or another.
It would be interesting to think about a game that's so loot driven that doesn't have something like that.
Well, how about Warframe is really loot driven and has a ton of stuff to show progression, and right. Also has, you have moments where your guns are bullet spongy and moments where they're not. What it depends on is the level of the encounter you're in and your level. Like, if you go to an encounter where you're too low level, like, say, if you're a YouTuber trying to min-max his leveling experience, you may have more bullet spongy enemies than if you're at your appropriate level area.
But the thing that sets a Tom Clancy game apart from all other games and genres is its adherence to realism and the guns and the military tactics.
I think it's just that it was based on a novel written by Tom Clancy that makes them Tom Clancy.
I don't think stuff. It was the no decision. Rainbow Six was the only one that was a novel that he ever turned into a game franchise. The rest were just spin-offs of his military tactics.
Okay, fair.
I guess I'm mistaken.
Tom Clancy's name gets slapped on like tactical military titles, basically.
I was under the impression he had some kind of tie into them before they put his name.
Rainbow Six was a book that was made into a game. The rest is not
interesting.
Anyways, the point is, like, yeah, in those other games it's much easier to suspend your disbelief and just go with it. In a shooter like this, like, where it basically looks like GTA, for example, like GTA would be a totally different game if you were having to pump, you know, magazine after magazine into your enemies.
You mean if it was an RPG?
This is like an MMO, isn't it?
Well, no, and I'm tired of everyone saying that any game with more than four people in it is an MMO. Seriously?
Well, like, the whole game is online.
Well, so what? You know what else is all online? Every RTS ever made, basically.
I would call this closer to, like, Diablo.
Yeah, I mean, I would just call this a multiplayer game. Can we do that anymore? Destiny, people are calling it an MMO? Henry. Is that a joke when the biggest group size is 8?
But like, Diablo 10? Is, you can just, like, mow through guys. You know what I mean? That's this is why it seems weird.
Don't know. That's not always true. You can't always just mow through guys in Diablo. It depends on where you are in the story and in the game. And this is also, Diablo is a game where everything is scaled to your level.
True.
If you do that with The Division, it's going to make it so that you can go literally anywhere at any time. The reason that works fast and loose with Diablo is because Diablo is all about the loot treadmill. This is not just a loot treadmill game. This is supposed to be like a realistic look of New York, a world you can get immersed in. Like, people ain't playing Diablo for the story.
Right, true.
I was originally.
That's a little sad, but
I'll put that out there. I guess that a lot of people walked away with the same impression, both players and viewers, and that was that it just seemed unnatural,
like,
and off-putting. Yes. Yeah. So maybe they'll balance it, maybe they won't. If they do not, I would lose interest in the game. It just seems, I don't know, why not just increase everyone's damage output, lower their health, and then just put more enemies on the map? It seems like that would fix the problem.
Well, if you up everyone's damage output and lower their health, first off, you're going to break the PvP. But also,
I'm fine with that.
But
just make it a one-shot realistic.
But it sounds a lot of the PvP in that game is...
You don't want it to be one-shot realistic. It's a cover shooter.
Well, yeah,
if it was
one armor and helmets on
and it's a cover shooter, upgrade your gear. I'm not sure what you're referring to, because you're the one yourself who's saying, like, it's all super realistic and all that.
No, it should be.
I don't know. No, I mean, you were describing it as super realistic.
Oh, yeah. Like, you can, everything in the game, as far as, like, the way the humans are and the environment and the weapons, like, the weapons you can customize down to the minute detail, and every little attachment is, like, a real thing that you can alter on a gun. But, like, that's what I meant in realistic. Okay. The thing that is off-putting then is the unrealistic amount of health and damage one must do to take down an enemy.
So how again exactly would you fix that? I'm trying to figure out, like, because just upping damage doesn't
really
work
when
there's 30
classes. I honestly don't think they can fix it now that it is what it is. I think they just have to go with it, and I think that they will end up having it be bullet spongy. Mm. Some of the recommendations I read were, basically decreasing everyone's health, player and enemies, so that it is much easier to take everyone down across the board and maybe increase the number of enemies. So the challenge comes from the number, and maybe make it like I saw some of the AI just running right out into the middle of an open area and getting mowed down without putting up much of a fight, even though they were still bullet spongy. And like maybe they could focus on making the AI more challenging and it come from that. I don't know.
That also could be it. We don't really know enough to say. That could just be like a type of
enemy
like that rushes you, you know, a charger or something. But yeah, so I mean, I'm going to be honest. I think that, I mean, in case it's not clear, I do think that people, you included, but not specifically, are being a little bit unnecessarily reactionary to like the first major alpha of a game that is hotly anticipated. I think it's good the hype train is getting some breaks thrown because this game has got way too much hype.
Though? Because
oh my god, are you kidding me? Everyone I know, I forgot about this game until like 2 weeks ago when it started exploding in hype again. No. I forgot about it. This being I being the person who doesn't even know if Tom Clancy's an author or a tactician.
Do you know if he's alive or dead?
He's not alive anymore.
I wanted to see if Henry knew.
I was going to guess wrong, so spoilers. I'm glad you jumped in there.
I thought he was alive.
Although his son, Tom Clancy, is still alive.
But it's spelled T-H-O-N, and he's not really.
So the beta actually opens up next week on the 29th. It goes for 3 days.
Yeah, and to give you an idea, my 14-year-old brother actually signed me up for the beta because they ask you if any other friends might be interested.
That's very nice of him.
He signed me up for the beta.
Because normally you have to pre-order a copy of the game or just get chosen.
Oh, he must have pre-ordered it then.
That could be it.
Brandon,
You could also buy it in the Humble Bundle last week when they had the Tom Clancy bundle.
Brandon also offered to do that for me, which I thought was pretty funny. But yeah, so I'm still pretty excited about The Division, but then again, I've never been super into that particular style of game. I don't know. I've never been a huge Tom Clancy guy, so I'd love to be pulled in. And ironically, my favorite Tom Clancy game seems to be the most hated among purists, which is Rainbow Six Vegas. I really enjoyed, and people are like, homogenized.
You know why? It's because like all the original PC games, you could every single level would start with you picking your team, your loadout, and you could
I found that overwhelming.
Like right, but you could actually like map out where they're supposed to go through the world, what they're supposed to do at each section, and like it was kind of fun, but like it got
And that actually is coming back into vogue right now with games like Door Kickers, which is cool. Like the whole planning phases, Siege does a little of that too. With the except it's not like a top down blueprint view or whatever.
Sure,
there's a couple games that are doing that. However, I found that, like, when I think back on Rainbow Six for N64, like, that game was so overwhelming for me that I just had no interest in it. Like, I needed something simpler. GoldenEye was complicated enough at the time. Then again,
Door Kickers looks pretty cool.
I was just a kid. But, yeah, so I'm still excited for The Division, but I think the important lesson is everybody temper back that hype a little bit. Just be like me. You know, if you don't get your hopes up, you're never disappointed.
Just get excited like you, for that space game that's coming out, No Man's Sky.
Yeah, and then when he gets to see the first open beta's gameplay and realizes that that game is the depth of a shallow, you know, kiddie pool, it's not going to be quite as exciting, and we'll have the same conversation all over again. All right. Also in the news, this is actually kind of cool. Valve has approved a fan-made Half-Life Blue Shift sequel, I think it was. It's Half-Life Opposing Force, sorry. And it's actually quite cool. Valve is letting him put it on Steam. He is charging $10 for it. It is standalone and does not require Half-Life 2 to play. And you basically play as Shepard, the character from Gearbox's Opposing Force spinoff.
Not Mass Effect.
Commander Shepard.
Nope.
Not My Shepard.
Nope.
Fem Shep.
Nope.
Yeah.
Oh. However, so he remade the whole thing. 13 level long game. It's pretty cool. He actually originally did it as a submission to Valve to try and get onto the team, but apparently that did not work out, which is kind
of
sad.
It's super cool of them to let him release it.
Well, yes and no. I mean, we've seen them do similar stuff to this. To me, the big thing is they let him charge for it.
Yeah.
That's what's crazy to me, because we've seen what was the HAL something? What was the Portal mod that was really, really big? There was a Portal 2 mod that came out this year that I'm blanking on the name of, if somebody could look that up for me. But it's They made that, but it was totally free and required you to, like, I think you had to own Portal 2 to play it. It's like Mel's Stories or something like that. But, yeah, it was a player-made Portal.
Portal Stories, Mel.
Thank you.
Yep.
Okay. But, yeah, so I think it's really interesting because we don't really see a lot of this. And I'm not sure if it's just because Valve can print money, but it's basically a company trading away a valuable, potentially valuable IP, to just some dude.
They're not taking anything off the top?
Well, I mean, Valve already takes 30% of all sales. So,
oh.
I don't know if they're taking a little bit more because we don't have access to, like, his agreement, obviously.
Right, but right.
It's an interesting situation, and yeah. I would love to see if this paved the way for more spiritual successors and, like, game spinoffs. I would love to see a new legal case talking about using established characters in an original story. Because yeah. I think that as games spread out more and more and we see more and more cross-franchise stuff, that those barriers of what is an IP and what all you have truly copywritten starts to change. It makes me think back, actually, on sort of the whole Disney copyright fiasco where they have repeatedly extended basically American copyright law every time that they come close to losing the rights to Mickey Mouse. Back in the day, it was, I think, 40 years – or it was 11 years or something like that was the original copyright length that you had access to all that stuff. And I just think it'd be really cool if we could see fans – or even other companies picking up, you know, some of these games that are 12, 15 years old and don't have any sign of development. But yeah, so
So there's actually precedent for what Valve is doing.
Please do tell.
So there's a group of people called the Crowbar Collective that have actually remade the first Half-Life. It's an early access. It's called Black Mesa.
Yeah, that's
they
different.
Are charging for
that's
it.
That's totally different though, because A, that requires Half-Life 2. Mm-hmm. Also, that is not that's an HD remake. That's not like a new standalone title.
But it was something that they were working on separately.
I know. I've been following it for 20 years. Valve. They've been working on it since Source like released. but
still, it's
I don't
working
think that
with
that's, I don't think
with
that, I
developers
think kind of an
apples on
and oranges.
I don't know.
Valve has worked with a lot of developers on that kind of stuff before. Like,
but actually, like remaking their games.
But that's not what this new story
I know,
is.
But it's taking the Half-Life franchise and giving it to or borrowing it.
I see the crossover. I just don't think that I don't think that's precedent for this. That's all. Especially because this doesn't require Half-Life 2, which actually potentially eats into a sale they could have gotten based on their own franchise. At least that requires you to own the game. Well, Half-Life 2, I think, not Half-Life 1.
Does it? This looks like a standalone thing.
Maybe they've updated it. I haven't checked in with them in about 4 or 6 months because I've been following them for so long.
Yeah.
I mean, the game's not officially fully done.
Right.
Yet,
it's still in early access.
Yeah, exactly. And it will be. I promise you guys for forever. I've literally been following this mod since I was like a freshman in high school. but it's very much a more Oblivion or Skywind type of just insanely large endeavor that I don't know if it'll ever actually get finished.
Yeah,
right. Because
they're going to release the new version of the Source engine before then. But that said, all three of those fan projects are great, and you guys should check them all out. But this one in particular sounds really interesting, and it sounds like it may have slightly higher. Let's just say it's a slightly higher rent mod than most that you see, because this was a submission to try to get a job at Valve. Yeah. It's cool. I haven't gotten to check it out, but I want to take a peek probably later this week. Also in the news, the Supreme Court is going to be hearing again, well, not again, the Supreme Court, but American courts are again going to be hearing, the Xbox 360 disc scratching case. I'm sure you guys have heard this story, but, if not, so for the first time, the Supreme Court in particular is about to, listen to this case, that's basically people are complaining that if you moved your Xbox 360 while a disc was spinning inside of it, it could, because it was not well secured inside of the system, it would damage or scratch the disc. Now, as someone who lived with people who had and owned an Xbox 360, I've never heard of this issue or seen it myself.
I've had it happen to my first game on Xbox 360.
Happened to me as well.
I went to go.
Why are you guys moving your consoles? While
oh no, we were trapped.
No, you don't so have
that
to.
Was that was wait, everything what? I'd said. Had said that it was.
Yeah, no.
Moving
for me,
the
it didn't
it
involve
spinning.
Moving the console. It's like the disc spun out of its place, yeah. And like all of a sudden made this really weird fucking whirring noise. Yeah. So I went and popped it open, and then I thought we decided before that was okay.
No,
if it just comes out. Oh, it just came out. It was just, anyways, so took the disc out, and it was totally just like beat up and scratched, and didn't play anymore. So
that's a bummer. Got to invest in a disc doctor.
Yeah, for me, I was playing Dead or Alive 4. That was the reason I got a 360, and it was standing upright, and I went to go just like, oh, I want to put this just down because it was making weird noises. So I went to go move it down. All of a sudden, just heard this. Crazy, just scratching.
Yeah, you're saying it was standing vertically.
It was standing vertically.
Oh, for the record, mine
like the worst way to turn it too.
Yeah.
For the record, mine was flat, and it was the original Vegas.
Oh yeah. Yep.
So I don't know if I believe Max at all.
I hated standing up. I was always worried it would topple over.
No, I don't. I don't like standing up, and we had it standing up, and some drunk kid kicked it. So that's probably entirely our fault.
Yeah, definitely entirely. Yeah, I
fully put that blame on me.
I was gonna say,
but there is a very large scratch on that game, but it still works. It's just the menu music at the beginning doesn't play.
That's weird.
That's it. Very Everything weird. Else that's not works. Usually how disc scratching
I know. I got
happens.
Lucky.
Yeah, that's real weird.
So lucky.
But they're gonna hear the case again. I think it's probably pretty unlikely that there's gonna be a class action suit because only 55,000 people apparently have even submitted claims out of
how is this in the Supreme Court though?
What they're
because
each gonna get
it, that's
the value,
how courts work.
They're that's each gonna ridiculous. Get the value of a game or however many.
Yeah, how do you how does
the, I mean class action suits the amount is decided by the tort lawyer
and
the judge.
It's like split.
Right. I'm just saying like it's usually not a ridiculously big amount. The point is that the company
well,
takes
actually,
enough damage.
The amount it is depends on the number of claimants, and since there's so few claimants, it's likely that they would get a larger settlement than normal. Huh. But you should read King of Torts. It's a great book. John Grisham explains tons about tort law. Anyways, it's really
how long do you cook
kind
a
of
tort
a
for?
Weird story. It's really kind of a strange story because to me it really does seem like negligence, but I guess I'll take Max at his word and say perhaps there were some systems that had additionally shot discs out the side.
Those,
I feel like I would have heard a lot more stories about that if it was
those
like
discs go super fast in the 360.
I know. I do know that, but that's
I could see them be or some of them having flaws where it would just kind of go crazy.
I mean, look at the red ring and all that crap. Yeah.
Well, that's my point is why I have trouble believing that the discs were just flying off of the spindle just because, like, we heard about the red ring of death.
Oh, yeah. No, I know.
Like,
but we heard about this, too, back then. Just because it wasn't as widespread doesn't mean it wasn't still
was there a class action suit for the red ring of death?
No, they just kind of just fixed it.
I know. Oh,
they,
sure.
They're like, we're gonna make good.
The issue with that was that it wasn't affecting any of the games. They're like, we're just gonna fix your Xbox.
Sure.
No questions asked.
Well, and it's worth noting too that as
eight of them,
as much of an elitist jerk as I'm being about all this, they did actually. There is actually a record saying that like the designers had multiple solutions proposed, and even one of which would only increase the cost per console of manufacturing by 50 cents, and they decided
not to do
any of them.
That's too much money.
We're talking for the Red Ring?
No, we're talking about for the discs.
Oh, gotcha.
No. The Red Ring they did fix in the later revisions of the Xbox 360, because it was really just a power supply issue, wasn't it?
It was a motherboard issue.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
Motherboard. Mm.
Thanks for your contribution to the podcast, Tom.
Yeah, seriously. All right. Well, so they're going to be hearing the case soon. I expect it to get struck down, but I kind of would like to tune in if you can tune in. I'm not sure if you can tune in.
Probably see.
But I would love to just see them after he's been. I just want to see like Scalia's face when he hears like a video game case brought before the Supreme Court. I just feel like just explaining this to like three people with one foot in death's door is just a
my
nightmare.
Game broke and I need my new disc fixed.
What are the chances like that this just gets instantly dismissed?
It's like get
Well, they wouldn't have agreed to hear it if they're going to instantly dismiss
it. That's true, and it's been appealed multiple times.
I'm joking.
No, I know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But that's really all there is, unless somebody has anything else really pressing.
I want my new disc of DOA 4. Also, everyone should get online and play that DOA 4.
I don't think they're bringing it to the U.S. Sorry, dude.
DOA 4? It's a launch title. Just damn it.
I'm just making a joke.
Damn it.
Because, you know what? Never mind.
I got it.
References to other weeks of news stories.
PSO?
You're done.
Yeah, you're out.
All right, I'll see you guys later.
So you guys might have heard about this a long time ago and then completely forgotten, which is very sad. But Amir Hekmati, and I'm not sure I'm saying that right, but I'm doing my best here. He was a game developer that was imprisoned in 2011 in Iran on charges of espionage. And he has recently finally been released, which is great. He was contracted by the Department of Defense to build a language learning video game. And Iran basically arrested him and then said he confessed to being a spy, which many people believe was a coerced confession. He was originally sentenced to death. Then it was appealed. And in a closed door, no video surveillance hearing, he was convicted for 10 years. And now, basically immediately after the sanctions on Iran were lifted, they were like, all right, you guys can all have your journalists and stuff back. So he's finally on his way home. I think he actually is home now. And it's really great. I mean, it's really fantastic that this guy finally got some closure to this. You know, every once in a while we hear about some random game developer. This just reminds me of, was it in Greece or Italy? I'm trying to remember, the Arma developer that was arrested on espionage when he was taking pictures of a military base for research for Arma 3. You know, we hear about this every once in a while and it just blows mind.
Turkey or something?
Yeah, I think
was it Turkey?
Yeah.
I could have sworn. I'm probably wrong. But it's very distressing to me to see this kind of thing, just because that's so outside of the purview. I mean, I guess that in modern days you use, you know, updated aliases.
Oh, no, they were arresting Greece.
Yeah, there you go. Boom. I was surprised by it when I first read it, too. But they, you know, I feel like game developers are pretty trustworthy, easy to read dudes.
Yeah.
But then again, at the same time, first of all, that's a stereotype. Also,
spies can be spies.
Exactly. I was just going to say, you know, it's not like the CIA or whoever's sending them are idiots. Like, I'm sure they're like, what's a modern thing that affords a lot of travel? Oh, game development. Sure.
And studying bases.
Right.
Military bases.
Don't they know if you want to be able to travel unfettered, you just tell them that you're a YouTuber.
Yeah.
They travel all the time for whatever reason they want. Exactly. But, so his family has said that he is on a flight back currently.
Good.
And they've spoken to him and stuff, and so they're very happy. And, this is just a great outcome for a really, really terrible situation. And just our thoughts go out to him and his family. In less serious news, although kind of oddly serious, Microsoft is launching Minecraft Education Edition. This is interesting. This is a version of Minecraft that's been edited specifically to be used as a teaching tool. I haven't seen it in action, so I'm not 100% clear on what exactly differentiates it, but I think the idea is that you can express stuff in a three-dimensional world space.
Yeah.
So the big thing that we know is that Minecraft has been around in school since basically its inception. And the trouble that Microsoft is going to face is that they have no research value or proof showing how it's actually educational or helps students learn.
There has been some minor application that have shown like some really interesting stuff. Like there was that multilingual particle physics demonstration where someone explained like some basic particle physics using Minecraft for visual aids and stuff like that. And you can do some really cool logic programming and stuff like
people
computer science.
Computers and stuff in there.
Right. Yeah, like, I've seen that.
And like with Redstone and timers and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so like I see the potential. I don't know if I see the full list of stuff because people are saying like they're going to use it in like history class. And I'm like, what possible application would
immersion? Like you create history,
you want to talk about immersion, then when I was in when I was in fourth grade and we had to do, we were learning about World War II. Everyone had to do a presentation, and my fourth grade teacher let one of the kids bring in his copy of Call of Duty Allied Assault.
Hey,
and he played Storming
education.
The Beaches.
So good.
Education.
Shut up, Tom. He played Storming the Beaches of Normandy, like, live in the classroom, and we got to watch through that. That is immersion and cool, and if you want to do a tie a history class to a video game, that's how you do it. You don't do it in a cube world where you have a weird facsimile of, like, a landmark that you created in 20 minutes before the show.
Easy and accessible for people to get into, like, for teachers to use and actually for students to create, like, dioramas.
I do wonder how fast it will catch on with teachers.
Right? I, you know what I think is that, like, I feel like they're – people are greatly overestimating Minecraft's staying power. Minecraft is going to be like a fart in the wind at some point in the not too distant future. I'm serious. It's going to be here one second and just
he's
gone.
Laughing because you said fart.
Jesus. But my point is, you know, Minecraft is hugely popular right now, but it's a fad. I mean, it really is. All games are fads. And so, like,
well, all everything is a fad.
Not Call of Duty.
Games in particular have a short lifespan. I don't think that in 20 years they're going to have Minecraft in classrooms. I don't think in 5 years that this program will have taken off. Now, I'll eat my words if I'm wrong, but I really don't – I don't see this being like – this is not like giving kids tablets for the first time. This is someone going, every kid I know plays Minecraft. How can we make learning fun? Oh, every kid plays Minecraft? Let's make Minecraft part of learning, which is fine, but it feels a little tone deaf to me because, like, the thing that's great about Minecraft is the lack of structure and rules, like that you can truly do whatever you want and be creative. And by, like, locking it down into a classroom setting, to me, basically, it's neat that they're going to be in a VR classroom. But that's the long and short of it, is like, now we're all now we're digitally all in a room together, as opposed to when we're physically all in a room together. Oh, wait, we're also all in a room together already.
Immersion.
So, I mean, I'll be interested. I need to see more. Like I said, I haven't seen, like, video of it in action, but I've seen some still screens, and it looks like it's got some potentially cool applications specifically for, like, math and the sciences, for, like, showing sort of a breakdown of how different things work, like with algebra, being able to physically represent some of the variables and stuff, or for specifically physics and stuff. Yeah. You can do some really neat things. And I have seen some really cool mods too, that I learned a lot about nuclear reactors by using a nuclear reactor mod in Minecraft for a long time. Sorry, you were saying too?
Or even just art. Like, you have a whole list of blocks that you can kind of put together and create cool things, whether it's sculptures or actual just like 2D pictures, stuff like that.
Yeah, that's true. Although I do feel that Minecraft is a little too simple to really do anything too great. Like, I know you can do pixel art and stuff, but, like, I don't know. I have yet to see a masterpiece come out of Minecraft. Let's put it that way. Maybe this is how we'll get our first Minecraft Monet.
Yeah.
All right, so
Pixel Casso.
As always, I'm eternally skeptical, but we shall see.
I hate myself for that one.
I just wasn't going to even acknowledge it. Here's a really weird one. This is probably going to have a very different reaction than our Half-Life sequel we discussed earlier. Shadow Moses is a fan-made Metal Gear Solid original remake in the Unreal 4 engine.
And boy, does it look pretty.
Yeah, it looks real cool. However, which I don't know if you guys see all the tech demos for Unreal 4, but they all look really good. And then I always wonder why none of the Unreal 4 games I own look nearly as good as the tech demos. But that said, so the Shadow Moses team is a group of developers that are working on, remaking the original Metal Gear. The original Metal Gear Solid, specifically the PlayStation one. And they don't have Konami's permission yet. And they've publicly come out and said, like, hey, guys,
I don't think they're ever going to have Konami's permission.
Hey, we don't own the copyright. And so sooner or later, we're going to need their permission.
Is it a pachinko machine?
Right, exactly. No. But in the meantime, we're just going to continue development until we get shut down. So, I mean, I don't know. How tone deaf are these people? Like, have they not heard of Konami?
Yeah. Could they just, like, call it, like, Snake Solid?
No, I don't think that I was actually wondering about this. If they didn't have a single name or direct reference to Metal Gear, how close, like, I wonder how close copyright law would allow you to get to the original.
Yeah, I mean, what if the main character is something else? Because this looks sweet.
I mean, if you changed one mechanic in a game and it's all original assets, how far, like, how close, you know, what is a genre game and what is an IP violation?
A lot of it comes down to if someone can mistake it for the original.
What about, like, something like Quake and Doom? I know a ton of people who could mistake those for each other, like, back in the day. Yeah. So that's – and then that's –
But if you're using, like, entire level layouts and then just changing the characters, like, that could be
– Yeah, that's sure. true. That's sure. what sucks because I feel like you want to use the level layout and just, like – You could say screw.
You would have to for a Metal Gear Solid game, and so that's really it's really interesting. I don't know what these guys are thinking. I think it's a really noble idea for the project. I really hope that they are smart about this and offer it for free download, like immediately. I'm not sure if it's available yet. I don't think it is. However, no, it's not. However, if they're smart, they'll make it available for public download right up until the second it gets pulled, so that at least people can. Play a little bit of it before no one gets it. But yeah, there's no way that's happening. I mean, seriously, I'll eat my hat that I don't have if that goes through. I'd be blown away. Although it would be kind of interesting to see. I wonder what would happen. I wonder if Konami could just like tell them they can't make it. Then if the assets are open source, just take the assets and then release it.
And then be like,
remake.
This is our new Metal Gear.
Like, I wonder how far their rights go with their own IP. It's weird. I don't know. Anyways, here's some weird little news. Undertale has gotten its first big update, and they added in, like, they clarified some secrets, basically, which is weird, and added a little bit. I'm not going to get into this too much. In fact, I'm really not going to get into it at all. They did some bug fixes. And if you've been paying close attention to specifically some of the, like, data mining and stuff that people have done, or if you've been following the Reddit threads on Undertale, they have confirmed a theory that's gone for a long time and also thrown some more questions up in the air with it. So, yeah, it's a cool update for a fantastic game. It was my game of the year last year. So if you haven't played Undertale yet, right? Check it out. It will come to consoles eventually, I'm sure.
But no announcement.
No announcement yet. And then last news story, I'm going to let Tom talk about here. But basically, the long and short of it is that Nintendo is deleting unpopular or unplayed Mario Maker levels without giving specifics as to what it violated. And also, once they do it, it permanently bans that level, meaning you cannot change it and resubmit it.
So I think the second part is kind of the more like frustrating part, I guess. And John, you know more about this because you own the game and own the system. But just looking at it, it looks like a lot of people put, you know, good time into these. And I understand their thought process here. If there's low popularity or obviously, you know, it's just not a good level, you take it off. I just don't understand why you don't have a system in place where they would tell you, first of all, this is why it happened, even if it's an automated message or whatever, and then you can go back and fix it. Because I feel like if you put, let's say, hours upon hours on the into a level, why can't you go back and fix like one part of it that's kind of messed up or just, you know, is bothering people who originally play it, and then re-release it, and maybe that will add to the popularity. People be like, okay, this is easy to play through.
I think the reason for that, I mean, I don't agree with their solution, but I think the reasoning is otherwise people could literally rotate a block 90 degrees and re-upload it.
Yeah. No, I mean, I guess I understand that. Maybe. And I think the hardest part about this is think about how many people are making it and how would you have like correspondence with, you know, someone from Nintendo. The weirdest part about this is I believe in the story. I'm trying to look right now. Like Nintendo didn't say anything about it, right?
They didn't. No, it's a Japanese company. They don't. And that's this probably the same reason, too, that they did this just across the board. Like suddenly is like they don't ask permission or forgiveness.
It was,
they just do.
It was apparently something that was actually upfront in the game. That's. Says that you would have your levels possibly deleted.
Sure. Okay. But, yeah. That's about as upfront as iTunes terms of service.
Right. And that's essentially what it is. It's like a terms of service thing. A lot of it's just like if your level's not being played or if the clear rate isn't enough, people have had like levels up for even just like 3 weeks.
And I mean, this is what they said.
Levels deleted.
Please be aware, after a fixed period of time, courses with low popularity will be automatically deleted from the server. Nintendo reserves the right to use uploaded courses and related data. either as is or with alterations for either commercial or non-commercial purposes without compensation to the uploader. So that sounds more like, hey, if you upload something sweet, we're going to make money off of it, rather than, and I understand the first part says, yeah, if it's low popularity, we'll take it off the server. But well, at the very least, they could inform you, look, we took it off, and give you the numbers.
They do give you some info about it. Here's an anecdote that I think kind of falls through what you're saying, though. Inappropriate levels are also being banned, quote unquote, inappropriate. Yeah. Well, that depends on your interpretation of inappropriate. So here's an example. Somebody posted on Reddit. They said, someone reported my level and Nintendo deleted it. The name of the level was Honey, I Shroomed the Mario.
Which is great.
Which is a reference to Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Mm-hmm. And it was removed for the reason given related to criminal activity. So obviously they thought it was a Mushrooms reference, yep. Which is ridiculous.
Even if it was.
They do have the right, if it's a drug reference, to take it down.
But in this case,
however, it's obviously not. Mario. And on top of that, that's not it being unpopular or too difficult or anything like that. That is like weird morality stuff. Which is their prerogative, but you'd think that they could just like censor the name or just like rename it automatically or just say, hey, you have to rename this rather than.
Well, like there's already a list of words that they can't use. You can't use the words like, yeah, with an exclamation mark.
You can't
and
use
the star
like.
Symbol.
Because it's pulling for likes. Or yes.
Yeah, like
in the Miiverse.
Like
what are yas?
It's a like. It's a different word for like.
I don't think it
yeah.
is.
What the heck?
I don't think that yeah, different word works that way. I don't think that's a synonym.
In the Miiverse.
I don't think that's how synonyms work.
Yeah.
But sure.
It's all a thumbs up. It's a star.
Uh-huh.
It's a heart.
What is it?
It's a yeah.
Oh, I hate you. All right. So yeah, so this is interesting. I don't know how I feel about this, because I think it's great that they're trying to remove a lot of the bloat, especially when you think of things like the
Mario challenges.
Yeah, where you're getting served random levels all the time.
And I'm with Tom that like the biggest thing is not being able to re-upload your level. Even if like your level didn't do well and you want to kind of go in and fix it.
Yeah.
Like the only way that you can do that is by actually creating that same level again in a different block.
Right.
Well, and then adjusting it from there, which is, and
I feel like part of the problem is that Nintendo fans are like the most dedicated exploiters in the gaming world. Like I feel like they could, like I was thinking, what would be a good workaround? What if they made it so you had to write like a well-written post explaining what you changed and let me finish.
Go ahead.
Hard
to do why on you changed
that exactly good. That's the point. Is it should be difficult so that it discourages people who are just trying to force re-upload everything that gets taken down from being able to get it. But then I think twice and I go, oh, wait, the internet would absolutely find a way to exploit that by like copying and pasting everything.
But what if it's like a 5-year-old kid playing Mario Maker and he made what he thinks is his perfect level and it gets taken down because no one played it?
Well, or what about this? What if you can upload the same?
I already poked a hole in my own thing. You guys don't need to attack
that's
me.
Fine. Well, no.
What about this theory, though? What if you can only upload a level like 2 or 3 times? So it's like if you don't get it right the second or third time, you just never get to bring it up. You know what I mean? Yeah. So you're using the same file.
I mean, if the thing that you're trying to tune is like difficulty?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. I think if you get 3 strikes, though, I mean, you would still have to
play through your level to upload it.
Yeah, but that's neither here nor there. I mean, difficulty.
You would be able to tell if it was
you want variable difficulty though? Like I'm talking generally among all the levels that get uploaded. You want some that are easy, some that are hard, right?
I'm not going to follow your leading questions. You can just tell me what your point is.
My point is like I guess difficulty seems like the least of the issues there. I think it's more if you just have something in there that's completely ridiculous.
I disagree. I think that the difficulty is the number one reason that they're taking so many of these out, because there's so many levels on here that have 1 to 10 completions and nothing else, or 0 to 10. I should clarify, because there's a lot of levels with no completions.
Right. No, and I think that's fair for them to do. I just think A, they should communicate why, and B, I think you should be able to re-upload it maybe one more time, or at least 2 more times, something like that.
It would not be hard for them to, like, just if you get a level deleted, they could send a notification that just says difficulty or inappropriate
yep.
wording or whatever. So
absolutely. It's a weird situation.
And typical Nintendo.
Hopefully they'll figure out a little bit of a less arcane way of dealing mm-hmm. with the issue, though. And that pretty much does it for news this week. However, that brings us to my favorite topic every week, what we've been playing. Hooray! Woohoo! And I'm going to get things started this week with the guilty pleasure I've been indulging in way more than I expected, which is Warframe. Goodness.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Late to the party.
Yeah, well, I mean, a little. It's not, I already had put, like, probably 20 hours into the game over the last 4 years stretched out over time. But this is the first time I've actually really made any dedicated effort to play, and also I spent some money on it because it's a game that's worth your money. It's a totally free-to-play game. Fantastic.
Whoa. Henry spent money on a free-to-play game.
Yeah, because...
Wow.
Yeah, so why don't you let me... God, you guys are the worst. Sorry. I can't even finish a damn sentence.
Well, I didn't say anything.
I mean, that's a two-way street, to be fair.
Yeah, I guess. Except that I'm not saying outrageous things. I'm just trying to finish a thought. So Warframe is a really good free-to-play model. Like, I played it for 30 or 40 hours before I even considered spending any money on it, and I spent the money... I didn't feel coerced into spending the money. I spent the money because I was like, I don't really feel like waiting for this research to complete. But you know what? I've got $5 in my account. I don't care.
It's kind of a good feeling when you
I wanted to support
like,
a developer of exactly. a great game that is they receive rolling up. That game has had updates for
years. 4 years.
Yeah. And it's totally free to play. And it's got great graphics. The gameplay is fantastic. It's like a better it's like a good version of Destiny, basically, except third person, and like has way more melee variety. Like it's a fantastic, great RPG shooter. I don't really know how much more to say about it. It's got a good like it's got cool matchmaking for like when you're doing solo missions. It's mostly PvE, but it does have PvP. It's got, like, guild-type things. I think they're called clans. And, like, all kind of, like, you've got a custom dojo that your clan builds. And it's got all special, like, items and stuff that you can only get through that.
It's kind of one of those underrated games in the last few years.
It's and massively it's underrated.
Everywhere. You could get it on PS4, Xbox One,
well, and
PC.
It's got a high player population, yeah. too. Like, I think right now it's got around 50,000 concurrent players. So, I mean, that's pretty good. I'm really enjoying it. If you haven't played it, you really have no excuse not to because it's totally free. And seriously, you guys, it's got AAA production quality.
Is it an MMO?
No. I swear to God, I will knock you out cold. No, it's a multiplayer game.
Damn. Massively? It. Is it online?
I'm not playing if it's not an MMO.
Looks kind of like Mass Effect.
It does look sweet. I might play this game.
I am going to kill everyone in this room.
I think I saw an antidote.
No, I was being serious.
That it's this was supposed
like
to be Mass Dark.
No, I just mean like the character models. Enemy
Do you remember
models?
The game they Dark Sector? Like Destiny, if anything. Or rather, Destiny.
I didn't play
like them. But yeah, so I played that game. That's a game that I played.
Cool.
What else have you guys been playing?
Fallout 4, which is sweet. I love Fallout. I do.
So
honestly,
still,
I love this
still
game.
Kicking on that.
No, I still, I love, honestly, like, how do you guys not like this game? It's sweet.
I like do it. Like the I'm game, and unlike you, I've actually now. Played a lot more of it. And
I played
it.
2 days. I played 2 days. This is good for me, and more than 2 days, and
like
I'm in the glowing
48
seat.
Hours in?
I'm probably over 50.
On two different days. Okay.
No, yeah.
So you're saying when you load your file, it says 2 days.
Yes, it says 2 days and like 6 hours or something like that. I'm not kidding. That's like all I've been playing.
Yeah, yeah. We're all very impressed that you leave it running.
No, yeah. For 2 days straight, it blew up my Xbox. It was bad. No, but honestly, I love that game. I don't know why it is. Like, I think it's just a better version of like 3 and...
No, it's definitely not.
I see,
it's a good game. You know that I like it more than anyone else in this room.
Right.
Well, except maybe you. But that's... patently wrong. It is not even
no see I don't really have issues with dialogue, I swear.
Then you should not be a writer. You're a writer. How can you not have issues with that dialogue?
No, I don't have a like I've never said something well I shouldn't say I've never said something wrong, but I generally don't say what I like something wrong where it's like I didn't mean to say.
You realize
that.
The biggest problem with the dialogue is that you straight up can't like you can only be a good guy or a sarcastic guy, right? Like, the issue is that there's no choices in the dialogue anymore.
Right,
like,
right,
at
right.
all. Like, they're all fake choices.
Right, and I don't know. I do like the characters in it. Like, I like, what's his name, Valentine or whatever, and...
Name three other characters.
The journalist, Piper. I like.
You named the two good characters.
Strong. Strong's funny. Strong is funny.
I like Strong.
That's fact based.
Yeah.
And I don't like Paladin, but I feel like I'm not supposed to like him. Like, I feel like that's
no. You're definitely supposed to like Dance.
Oh, that guy kind of pisses me off, dude. I'm not kidding, because he's against the synth and like.
I mean, he named three companions.
Codsworth and companion. There's that lady that.
You're wrong, because Codsworth was the worst.
This is the seer.
The promise of Codsworth is amazing, but in practice,
right.
The worst companion, and he also hates you for playing the game.
No, and there are some weird things in there, like you can't, with Strong, you can't pick locks, like he's mad at you, and you can't go into power armor, and I'm like, what's wrong with you,
because
thing?
You'd be stronger than him.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right, I guess
Strong is, Strong does have some pretty funny little dialogue things, but his overarching story is me. I don't know, I found that besides your companions, almost no one in that world is even remotely memorable.
Except for the slugger dude.
To be fair, almost all the remotely memorable people are capable of becoming your companion.
That's literally what I just said.
Yeah, but there's a lot of
companions. I know, but I'm just saying, like, they...
That's not a to-be-fair statement. You don't have to qualify. Like I just said.
Right, okay, I guess.
All the best characters are already companions.
Can you have the Minuteman?
Right, but I'm just... Yeah.
Be your...
Okay. So many people can become your companion.
I don't... Garvey kind of pisses me off, because he literally gives you ridiculous missions. Like, it's like...
He said another name. That's not a companion. Oh, he is a companion.
Is Garvey? No.
Can he?
He'll
join you on crap. He's a companion.
But no, there's sweet places like the castle, and you got that thing come out of the water and stuff. That's cool. And there's that Mirelurk, giant thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think the castle is garbage. The castle is so boring and tiny and like.
No, but it's a settlement.
Nothing castle like about it.
It's not even a castle.
It's just like some wall.
I just thought it was cool that the Mirelurk came out of the water.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
No, that was cool. One moment, but that does not make that makes that quest cool, not the castle.
I suppose that's fair.
The castle is the worst because it's not even flat, so you can't build like. Oh, God. That drove me mad.
The Cabo people are kind of funny. Like, they're creating serum and stuff.
Hey, I like the game. I'm just saying there's no way it's better than 3 or Vegas.
I see. I think it has more stuff in it. Like, 3 literally had like the same rubble in every damn part of Washington.
If the only reason you like it is because like
the environment,
different types of rubble.
The environments are different. I honestly,
it's also like 6 years newer, 8 years.
True. But I'm just saying, technology
has come a long way since.
Right. So that's why I like it. It's new technology, man.
So the best Battlefront game ever made is the one that came out last year, because it's got the
They
best
should get better. Some
right?
games get worse. Like Tony Hawk, it's worse, man.
And I would argue that Fallout got worse. Fallout 4 is still a good game, but it lost everything that makes it Fallout. It doesn't have morality. It doesn't have skills anymore.
The morality's a big issue. You have skills. They're sweet skills. You can be a ghoul or whatever.
Hey, dummy, those are perks.
Oh, what skills?
Skills are those numbers that used to go up and determine
like
how good skillful you were.
No, but they combined them.
No, they didn't. They made everything a perk.
They completely phased out skills and added 4 ranks for 2 of the skills.
Remember before you'd have to like level up lockpicking to a 100 and you'd still have perks.
They also took out traits.
I like the perk system way better. I'm going to be honest. I like that it's all
Tom is a casual. Though.
Yeah, you're a filthy casual.
Yeah, see, maybe. No, and I think this is the other thing. Maybe it was geared to me because it plays like a sweet first-person shooter.
It plus plays perfectly to your console peasant preferences.
Absolutely. Hey, I get my Mortal Kombat XL, so anyways.
I think you're talking to the wrong crowd over there. I don't think he's gonna play it.
Giant, who cares?
That's true.
You're gonna make fun of me because something about any of the other DLC characters that I have not paid for.
Bo Racho is the sweetest dude. But anyways, I like Fallout 4. I played a ton of it. I've also played some other games, which we can get to later.
We'll see. What
I
you
like
have to
it
say
for
when
me.
You finish it. You're not even halfway through the game.
True,
yet,
and that's the only thing I worry about is that I do like some of the dialogue, or at least in the sense that like I like the characters. Like I like Nick Valentine. Like,
remember
these
this,
other ones.
Tom.
Go
remember
ahead.
That I was calling it one of the greatest games ever made, and then I beat it, and then I cooled on it significantly. So maybe you should wait until you wait. Don't count your chickens before they hatch.
Yeah, and that's the only thing I worry about. That's why I've done like literally everything but the story. Is I worry once the story's done, I'm gonna be like, there's a lot of sweet perks I want, but not a lot to do to get them. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense.
Yeah. So, I mean, in that case, maybe I'll agree with it. I am going to, just for the case of so we can talk about spoilers and so that I can get to a level where I can talk about that, I'm literally just focusing on story unless there's something really compelling outside of it.
There are a lot of things that
I've done a lot. Like, I've done the Cabo. I've seen most of the map. Like, I've opened up a lot of different places there.
Yeah, there's still a quest.
Yeah, yeah.
There is so much to do in that game. It's actually insane.
But that's the thing. I got sidetracked for 2 days. Like, I literally have only played the Glowing Sea, and then I played all side stuff.
That's cool, but I mean, that's not new to Fallout 4. That's every Bethesda game since Morrowind.
I'm just saying my bigger point here is I'm going to focus on the story so I can talk to that if, like, once the story's done, it sucks or whatever, or like just the twist isn't good or whatever, we can get to that in a later episode or whatever.
Yeah, we'll see, since these other two scrubs haven't done it either.
Yeah. Play the story, kids.
It wasn't doing for me.
You could chime in next time I need support when Tom is going on about how it's better than the other Fallouts.
I like it. Honestly, here, I'll say this. I wish they would recreate Washington with these new, like, people or whatever, with, like, new stuff in it so that I could see Washington and it looks all different instead of all looks like rubble.
Maybe you'll get some DLC. They haven't even announced plans for it yet. I'd be down for Return to DC to see what it's like.
And Pitt was cool. Like, they had some good stuff.
All right.
Maryland.
Go ahead. I played some Stone.
Stone.
And
that's
Stone.
Not gonna catch on. Just stop.
Oh, I didn't put it in there. Who put it in there?
Yeah. No, you
no,
say
I
Stone.
Really didn't.
Considering it's not written as Stone on here.
No, it just was. Someone changed it.
I changed it before the segment and you still said it.
No. It
oh my god, so just tell me about it.
All right, no, let me tell you the origin of
Henry.
First of all, I have your swimsuit in my trunk.
Oh, I've been looking for that. Thank you.
Okay, so anyways,
they're my favorite gym shorts.
Incredibly professional.
Tom got naked in a hot tub on New Year's wearing my short. It was messed up. We don't talk about our weekends anymore.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Hey, no. So seriousness, you started Stone. I put it in the last, because you weren't on this last show. I put it in there, and Henry freaked out because he thought I was playing like,
we're like
some nature.
Okay. Well, I thought it was like wild.
No, but
literally,
I saw the word Stone right there in parentheses 30 seconds
all right.
ago.
I put
this
it on
is
there.
Amazingly okay. interesting podcasting.
Yeah.
Why don't you shut the hell up and tell us about your stupid pay to win bullshit so we can move on to the next story.
So only Henry can put money into a free to play game.
Well, I don't play a free to play game where it's pay to win.
I want to play
not pay
Stone
to win.
Tournament.
Yeah. Hearthstone
Stone
and trading
tournament.
Card games are not pay to win.
Anyways, I opened a couple packs and I got Tyrion Fordring and Leroy Jenkins back to back. I got pretty pumped.
Why don't I get
would you
these,
say
I get
you
the
won?
Crappiest packs? I swear.
I would. And then
you'd say you won after paying for it, perhaps.
Oh, that was with gold. I mean, I have sunk money into the game.
I know. I was making a pay to win joke.
Anyways, I only have 91 more cards to get before my collection is complete, and it has me pretty pumped.
I don't get any.
How much more money are you
going to
spend?
I do like $10 a pay period.
Oh my that's god, dude! How much?
Packs.
You play it a lot.
Don't
right?
say,
yeah,
I played a ton.
Don't say that's not too bad. That's how much have you spent on it?
I'm probably at like considering.
Listen, he spends more on Hearthstone than a WoW subscription costs. Okay, that's pretty bad.
Like 30,000 gold.
Well, how much is a WoW subscription?
$15 a month, and you're spending 20 a month on Hearthstone, and that's not including, I'm sure, all of the DLC you've paid for or those two.
Yeah, well, those
packs
are the money sinks. I'm probably at the $200 mark then.
I thought you said you were at the $200 mark when we asked you about this. Like,
no, that was like one month ago. 110.
All right, cool. All right, fair enough.
But well, actually, now I'm curious. So 50 plus 60 for the expansion.
110.
And then I bought
10 per pay period.
Yeah, so I'd say
it's
maybe one
year or whatever.
170 to 200 probably.
I think it's over 200. I think you're on.
I don't think so. There's no way.
All
maybe
right.
I don't know. Maybe.
I want to. Let's break this down.
We're gonna post
pay stubs.
Huge news, everybody. Crashlands has finally launched, and oh my god,
really?
Is it amazing.
Really? You're not gonna say it's finally crash landed onto your phone?
Hey,
oh,
yeah.
Well, I'm not that clever.
So I'm excited about this game too. I've been watching a bunch of YouTube stuff on it.
Yeah, it's another Butterscotch Brothers production or whatever they call themselves. And Butterscotch Shenanigans, sorry. They have they have a ton of games out on iOS and I think Android, and they're all like within the same universe and similar characters and stuff like that, but they're all wildly different games. And like Flop Rocket, that's a really good one. Like,
you, dirty.
You like it does
that's,
sound dirty.
Yeah, that's nasty.
No, so
do we have to bleep that, Henry?
You start
Flop Rocket.
You're like these people in a cave, and it's like a touch game where you have to get your spaceship to the end of the tunnel and escape the cave system by upgrading it. And there's monsters and stuff.
But yeah, it takes so little to break Tom.
I know. It's, yeah, so that's Flop Rocket. But this is Crashland. So basically, you crash on this planet. It is very, very reminiscent of...
Don't Starve.
Don't Starve, thank you. Where you're collecting resources and building stuff, and everything builds and researches a lot faster. It is a little more casual in the sense that there's no permadeath. You can get your items back a little easier if you die more easily. And it's not insanely hard. There's like a bigger focus on combat and armor and stuff like that. So Tom's still giggling at Flop Rocket. But no, highly, highly recommend these guys' games. One of the brothers had cancer. They made a big push to make this game launch while he was in treatment. There's a huge Polygon expose on it and two articles, I think, and some podcasts and developer stuff. And I believe he recently just got cleared and is recovering.
He's cancer-free for now?
Yeah.
Oh, you very much confused me with your use of expose.
Oh, well, might be. And,
just FYI, generally an expose is exposing something. I thought you were about to be like, he didn't have cancer.
They exposed the game to the rest of the world.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's what an expose is.
Yeah, they exposed the game to the world.
All right. Yeah, sure. Because it was under wraps before then.
It was. No one had heard of it.
That's a little different. Flop Rocket. Sure. Interesting.
But yeah, it's all obviously touchscreen. It is on Steam. Oh, here's the cool thing. So $5 on iOS, $15 on Steam, and it is cross play. So whatever you do on the computer will sync to the cloud, and you can just.
But you do have to buy it twice still, right?
You do.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So basically, look at it as a $20 game.
Cool.
Does it have any multiplayer?
Not at this time, but I believe they've talked about
garbage
it.
Game. I'm out.
Crashlands together.
No, it's not an MMO, Henry. I'm sorry.
Oh my god. Do you think you could kill somebody by just hitting him with a microphone again and again?
Yes. Yeah, probably. You gotta take that.
All right, final announcement. Exploding Kittens. It's on iPhones today. Probably coming to Android. It's definitely not
a final announcement, but sure.
Actually, no, it's not. So not. More things.
Why do you think you're the host today?
I don't. This is just super exciting. I love Exploding Kittens. One of the best card games I've ever played. And John will back me up on this.
I have
it's
it.
So fun.
All the cards are still sealed. I haven't played it yet.
You got to play it.
It's been out for... We'll bring it in here. It's 5 minutes a game.
I'm more of a secret Hitler man myself.
Oh, God, I can't wait for that.
The game is super good.
You guys are messed
up. The game is super duper good. Yeah, you can already...
Like, now they just upgraded to all the wood and the foil inlays and stuff.
Yeah, I know. But seriously, you guys, if you haven't checked it out, it's free to play, and it is the best deception game ever made. Seriously, Secret Hitler, it's so good. It's so good.
Kickstarter's got some good games right now.
Oh, God, Secret Hitler is good.
Anyways, Exploding Kittens, it's not online play. It's meant for same room play over Wi-Fi or Bluetooth. And it is cool because it has different cards than is...
What is it, Max?
It's kind of like
Uno, right? It's the game by the... No, think of it as Russian roulette with cards.
Okay.
And it's a game made by the Oatmeal Matthew Imam and... it's got all those goofy cartoon drawings and potty humor. And
basically, you have a deck of cards that you're working through, and you don't want to get the exploding kitten on your turn.
So basically, if there's five players, there are four exploding kittens, and you have to use cards like skip a turn or see the future to see where the exploding kittens are.
Or like hot potato?
Yeah, hot potato and Russian roulette. And, like, there's ways to block other players. But in the phone game now, there's an expansion. Oh, and if you buy today, so it's only $2, but you can get all the in-game apps or in-game purchases for free for, like, the next foreseeable couple days to celebrate the launch.
What does that shake out
so
to?
So it gets – they haven't announced
it. No, I'm saying is that premium currency or is that
– No, like real
like
money.
Actual – Okay, I know that. Yeah. Are you getting free like whatever their premium currency is, or are you actually getting like
there's not a premium currency. Actual you're DLC. Getting DLC.
Okay, yeah. So there's no so like microtransactions in the game.
You're
it's
getting
only DLC.
Different character icons, and then you're getting an expansion of new cards.
Gotcha.
And they're actually pretty good. And I would assume there's an actual
is the expansion of cards already out?
In the app it is. They haven't announced the physical thing, but you would assume that.
Interesting.
That's how they sustain these games.
Yeah, I know, but isn't it just...
Isn't there a second version of it, though?
Yeah. It's very recent.
Like, as in, like, it's kind of odd that they already have an expansion for it?
No, I don't think so.
I mean, if it's...
I mean, I've been playing it since it came out.
It might be ideas that were kind of thrown aside.
I thought it was a little early. I don't know. Dominion waited a little more than 6 months, I think, before they started releasing expansions. But fair enough.
It works.
I hear what you're saying. I love a good board game. We should all play that together.
I'll bring it in
live.
Next week, we'll play it live. We'll just scream at each other.
Yeah, we're actually going to play a visual card game.
We'll periscope it.
You guys can just listen to us. It's all audio. I also played a ton of Pocket Mortys this week. That game is real good.
Which is your favorite Morty now?
I really like Reverse Mermaid Morty. He's a fish from the waist up.
Sweet.
It's a great game. I recommended it to my younger brother, who is a year younger than me. And he, because he's a huge Pokemon nut, and he has beaten it already.
Oh.
It's a really cool game. I had a blast with it. It's Pokemon, straight up. It's like a really, really well-made Pokemon parody.
Is there any pressure for microtransactions at all?
He beat it without spending a dime.
Sweet.
I haven't even been tempted to spend a dime. Anyone who says that they need to use microtransactions is an idiot and doesn't remember that RPGs require you to fight. Also... Ryan. Like, well, yeah, I mean, which is fight. It shakes out to playing the game, which I don't understand. But also the way that you evolve the Mortys in that game, like as though they like it's the equivalent of evolving in Pokemon, is you combine two identical Mortys. And when you combine them, it like adds their levels together. So anybody who's using microtransactions is just an idiot. Like, yeah. I don't understand.
What do microtransactions offer you in the game?
You can get either what is the currency called in their universe? I'm trying to remember. Schmeckles. You can either get some schmeckles, or you can use it to get these golden tickets, which you can, which you normally will obtain anyways from whenever you defeat anyone from the Council of Mortys. But they give you one random Morty and a couple of items and some schmeckles, but like you really don't need them, and that's random anyways. So, frankly, what I'm interested in is you've got three. It's got a full like sort of the normal expected campaign of like of a Pokemon game, except that it's more randomly generated worlds that you're going through instead of it being like the linear stuff that you expect from Pokemon. And it has a lot of the dialogue and stuff stripped out, which is super okay with me.
Yeah.
It only has three elements. It's rock, paper, and scissors. I think they do a really good job with it though. And honestly, that's all I really want.
Keeps it
on a
very simple.
Game. Yeah. There are somewhere around 80 Mortys in the game. And I've had a blast with it. I mean, I highly recommend it. I've played it for over 20 hours, and it's totally free to play, so you really don't have an excuse. Like, if you liked Pokemon at all, and you're even interested in checking out Rick and Morty, it's a great segue. They did a great job using the original voice actors. It's hilarious. Every time you die... I'm blanking because I'm on air.
Is it more than one voice actor though? Because it's the same guy who does Rick and Morty.
Yeah, because they also have like Bird Person and stuff.
Oh right, and then
which that's what I was gonna just about to describe. What is Rick's catchphrase? I'm blanking here. It's like Wubba Dubba or something.
Wubba Dub Dub.
Yes, Wubba Wubba Dub. Flubba Wubba Dub Dub. Is that
Wubba Wubba Dub Dub?
I saw it written out.
Wubba Lubba Dub.
Wubba Lubba, that's what it is. Anyways, when you die, it just shows like Rick in first person reaching towards the sky and he goes, Wubba Lubba Dub Dub. And then you see like, and Bird Person flies in and takes you back to the quote unquote Pokemon Center. It's the Morty Center. Right?
Morty Center, yeah.
But yeah, it's a great game. There's a lot of funny humor. They've got a cool crafting system in it. It's all the levels are randomly generated, so it's got some replayability. Oh. 80 different kinds of Mortys, which is more depth than they needed to have, though I still haven't found my Cronenberg Morty. He better be in there. But it's just a fun game. I highly, highly recommend it. It is one of the most complete feeling mobile games I've ever played.
Especially for free, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Can you battle friends or trade Mortys?
I don't think that it has any multiplayer from what I've seen. However, that really shouldn't be a deal breaker because Pokemon barely had multiplayer.
No, you could trade things and then they
I swear
went
to
up
God,
levels.
Tom, if
yeah,
you
that's true.
Explain to me how Pokemon works, I am gonna just take you out right now.
Like, as I've grown up,
Pokemon
I don't really have friends
very
to play Pokemon with.
No, you. If we traded Pokemon,
oh
they leveled
God,
up faster.
We all know
way better.
How Pokemon works.
Yeah, that was good.
And if you trade a Morty, will it evolve?
You can't trade them.
Yeah, boom.
There's no trading or battling with other players.
There are a bunch of Pokemon references.
Well, the whole game
is a Pokemon.
It is a Pokemon game.
Good. I like that.
Yeah.
Way to contribute.
I've played the first battle. I like just played
that.
It while
then
you're on
you
the
should that should have answered your own question then, because okay. That's straight up Pokemon.
Fair.
But yeah, I really had fun playing that. I also played some Dragon's Dogma.
Yeah.
Dark Arisen.
I learned how to speed run that tutorial.
Yeah, I want to hear about that in just a second here. Right. So I just want to really quick complain for a sec. I know, shocking. I love everything about the ideas about that game. And in execution, it's just like every Japanese RPG I've ever played. I'm confused. I don't know where I'm supposed to go. Nothing is clearly labeled. And it feels like more of a grind than fun at times. I played it for about an hour and I didn't even get to my pawn because I didn't know where to go. Things are not laid out.
We were talking about
the mini map markers are all completely screwed up. Like, I have no idea where I'm supposed to be going. I left the starting town to try to do a side quest, couldn't find the side quest, gave up and went back to the town and found out I'd shown up at the fort, which is apparently another quest destination.
Wait, which is where you're supposed to get your pawn.
But then I left the fort because then a bunch of guards just ran to the door and were like, there's a monster out there. And there was an ogre, so I killed the ogre or watched them kill it mostly, and then went and tried to find more stuff to do and then got really annoyed and just quit. And now I'm playing Warframe because I at least know where I'm supposed to go in that game. Jen, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, so I bought this for myself for my birthday last week. I'm like, all right, Dragon's Dog. Hey, thanks.
Wasn't it between two choices? What was the other one?
It was that or Oxenfree, which I ended up not getting for whatever reason.
I'm excited about that.
But I just got myself really hyped up for Dragon's Dogma. Bought it. I'm like, all right, so take it forever to download. Next day I go and play it, play through the tutorial. Doesn't load after that. So I
beat it.
You got to return.
I beat it. So I
really feel like Japanese games are getting shorter and shorter.
They are, especially these big epic RPGs that are supposed to be open world. That happened like four times, and I had uninstalled the game, reinstalled it. I ended up actually doing a complete refresh on my computer while I was at work, and then went back, reinstalled Dragon's Dogma, tried it three more times.
You say a complete refresh?
You got to get rid of a repair installation of
like Windows.
I completely reinstalled Windows. As
you
a
like
fresh
formatted
install.
Your hard drive yeah. and read. Oh wow! Yeah. So it was
that time.
Game? Let's be clear. You didn't just refresh your computer. You broke it down and built it back up.
Yep.
Did you lose everything? Like, you didn't back up your Windows installation? Re-expand it.
I backed up the files that I needed.
Sure.
And then,
but did you have to like reinstall all your games and stuff?
Yeah. And the only game that's on my computer right now is Dragon's Dogma.
That is a rough life.
I got really good at speedrunning the tutorial because it took me like maybe half an hour the first time, and then I could do it in like 7 minutes now because you could just run past everything.
Side note, that is a real bad, real incomplete tutorial.
It is. And I think it was tacked in with Dark Arisen because I don't remember that back in the day.
Though I do want to shout out really quick because I haven't gotten very far in this game, and John and I are making it sound like it's
I really
problems.
Like what I've played.
Yeah. So first off, John, could you please clarify for the fans what you clarified to me, which is that Dragon's Dogma did not cause the
issue. It is not a Dragon's Dogma issue. It's actually an issue with the Windows developer preview. So the newest version of that actually breaks a video codec that doesn't allow a cutscene to play.
Makes sense.
So I had to download a third party thing. If you go on the Steam forums, if this is happening to you, there's a fix in there. It's very easy to implement. Yep. And then once
PC
that happened,
gaming for the win.
It was all good. I got into the world, started playing. I like the combat. I like climbing on monsters and just hacking away at their faces.
God, I love it. It's super cool. Yep. Plus, like, there's some the animation is really good. Yep. It's very reminiscent of Kingdoms of Amalur crossed with Dragon Age.
Yeah. Slash like Monster Hunter a little bit,
but like everybody keeps saying that, but I feel like the only reason people are saying Monster Hunter is because there's big monsters in it and
but
crafting.
It's like the combat's not as deliberate.
The combat's not action-y. Like Monster Hunter really at all. Yeah. I mean, it's much more similar to something like Shadow of the Colossus.
If I could get together with friends and actually like plan hunts and stuff, I think I would love the crap out of that game.
I feel like the only way that I'd want to play that multiplayer is if like the enemies you were fighting were hundreds of feet tall and they were just like. It's like just swarming with ant-like amounts of people, just like hundreds of dudes all hanging off this like giant golem, just stabbing him in the arm. Like no one's doing anything. We're just hitching a ride.
It seems for Building your class, that's pretty open because you can choose what kind of attacks that you have for the weapons that you have.
Yes, and you can change it at any time.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Yeah, it is really cool.
It reminds me a lot of Kingdoms of Amalur, actually. Yeah. I love that game. I'm sorry. I have to just throw this out here. That is a criminally underrated
game. Play that.
And everyone who had problems with it needed to stop being such a jerk because that game had amazing production. Yep. The story is not bad at all. It's written by R.A. Salvatore, for God's sakes. Mm-hmm. The art direction was by Todd McFarlane. Like, what do you want? What more do you want, people?
Kurt Schilling's game, isn't it?
Yeah.
An offshoot of it. It's the same universe.
Yeah. This is the game that bankrupted New Hampshire.
Right. Yeah, it's freaking Kurt Schilling.
But it's just really interesting, though, because I feel like that game got such a negative reaction, A, because of the business side of things, which makes no sense to me, and B, because they didn't do a perfect job of tuning quests for content. You know what other game did that and got a free pass? Oh, I don't know. Why don't we just ask Tom, his favorite game of last year?
Dragon Age.
Yeah, a game that had way more content than it had, like, properly balanced levels. If you did every mission in the Hinterlands, you were, like, 10 levels too high for the next zone.
I like that, though.
Well, then you would love Kingdoms of Amalur, because it's got combat that puts Dragon Age to shame.
Really?
In my opinion, it is the best melee combat and spellcasting, really, in any third-person game. It basically it looks like it was directed by, like, the World of Warcraft guys, too. Like, I really like the armor designs. If you like realistic stuff, maybe not you.
Yeah, Beans,
but, like,
you'll like it.
It's a really good
storyline. It competes.
Dude, it was written by R.A. Salvatore.
All right. I thought it was Kurt Schilling wrote it.
No. R.A. Salvatore wrote it. That's the dude who wrote, like, all of the Drizzt Do'Urden, like, Forgotten Realms books and, like, oh my God,
Tom is just like wide eyed over here.
Listen, Tom, he's like the John Grisham of nerdy fantasy novels.
He's like the R.L. Stein of.
Give him a little more credit. He's like the John Grisham.
He's like the John Grisham.
Yeah, but not too much. That's why I say John.
He's really good.
He's very good, but it is very pulpy.
Yeah,
good characters and stuff.
I mean, good power fantasies and stuff. I mean, it's written for, you know, teenagers mostly, but there's some really, really good stories in those. In particular, if you're older, I recommend something like the Cleric's Quintet, which is really good and isn't focused on, I'm a cool dual-wielding dark elf who skateboards down people's backs while I fight with my scimitars twinkle and icing death. Like, it just sounds like fan fiction a little bit after a while. So I got kind of burnt out on his dark elf character. But there are some other – he has a really strong supporting cast, and some of the earlier works as well as his spinoffs, like the Cleric's Quintet, are really well written. Mm-hmm. Highly recommend them if you're looking for – I guess I should mention Dungeons & Dragons universe is Forgotten Realms. Yeah. Forgotten Realms is Ed Greenwood's campaign world that he created, Faerun. Anyways, all my giant nerdiness aside,
nerd.
I apologize. I somehow managed to get too nerdy in a video game discussion. back to Dragon's Dogma. So,
yeah, one thing I noticed about that game, I haven't really gotten to the fast travel stuff, but I've heard there isn't as much of it.
I think what it is they completely redid it with Dark Arisen.
Right. There's an item that can take you back to, like, your hometown, but that's about it. Like, you can't go to specific places.
Well, you can with no. What it is you can set a hometown and you can go there frequently, but there's an item that lets you go anywhere that's super rare.
Oh, okay.
But I'm not sure exactly how they mitigated it, but everyone I've talked to who's played the new version says, oh, they fixed that.
Okay.
Also, supposedly they fixed some of the pawn AI, which is funny because pawns are totally broken now. Like, you can't share them properly.
And what pawns are NPCs that learn from you. You can kind of, like, set their class to complement yours.
And it goes beyond that.
Yeah, as you do quests, as you fight monsters, they learn the weaknesses of monsters.
They learn about, like, locations of hidden treasure. Yep, like, for example, if you clear the example they give is if you clear a whole forest of wolves, if someone else hires your pawn in their game world and go into that forest for the first time, they'll be like, I smell wolves. Don't forget where their weak point is. Like, watch out for them in the shadow. Like, they'll give you a bunch of tips about fighting them and how to deal with it.
Yep.
Also, they're more skillful against those
and
enemies.
They also learn from your actions. So if you start actually looting during battle, they'll start looting during battle.
That's a good one. You know what my favorite is? What? Is I read an anecdote from a guy on Reddit who said he downloaded his best friend's pawn and his best friend's pawn then promptly proceeded to start sprinting around the NPC town, breaking every single destructible container and looting everything.
That sounds like that'd be my pawn.
It's amazing. All I do is that's just, mine, like, too. Everything. My pawn, like the starter pawn that you get, or sorry, your rook. Yes. He already, for me, and I'm like less than an hour into the game, when I walk into a town, he starts busting stuff up. Because that's all I do. Oh, really? Yeah. So they can permadie?
Well, I was going through a cavern with, like, some really...
I swear to God, if he just got, like, stuck on a rock, I'm going to be
mad. No, I was facing some really hard enemies, so I ended up running away.
He was taken by pawns.
Of my pawns.
Is it the cavern that Flop Rocket is set in?
Is it? Yeah.
Nobody laughs at my nerd jokes. I quit.
Tom's laughing.
I think he's laughing at Flop Rocket again. God.
I
hate you guys.
I think you should check out Dragon's Dogma if you missed it a couple of years ago, especially on PC.
It looks good too. I wouldn't say amazing, but it looks good.
It looked good on 360.
But that was 4 years ago.
But also, like the frame rate is way, way better. It handles just so much better on PC.
It's worth noting that it ran like trash on the original consoles. Like it had real frame rate issues. It has none, and it appears to be a very well made, well optimized port. I recommend checking it out.
Yeah, it's $30. It's on Steam.
Maybe you want to wait until their pawn system gets fixed.
Yeah, apparently you can't really get the pawns right now. You can get just basic ones that were created by the developers.
I also played some Punch Club, and I really want to talk about it.
It's not on the list.
Are you supposed to talk about Punch Club? What's the first rule of Punch Club?
I don't.
That's
I
funny. Don't, that's get a, that's a good reference. Huh?
What's the first rule of Punch Club?
I don't get.
You don't
the joke.
You don't talk about Punch Club.
Come on now.
I mean, that's just the rule.
What are you,
You don't talk about.
Are you referencing like some popular movie or something?
Pawns. Punch Club.
Maybe a cult favorite movie.
It's that thing.
Oh, I love trolling in real life.
Oh. Pawn.
Anyways, though, Punch Club is really fun. It's like a weird, like, Rocky simulator type thing. So basically, you are a fighter. I won't say a boxer because you kick, but you're a fighter, and it's a weird, like, management simulator. You start out, and your father gets murdered, like, immediately by a dude in black, and he's like, avenge me, basically. And your role is to become, like, the greatest fighter, and they have characters straight up from different stuff. Speaking of, you meet Tyler at one point. You meet a Mick, which is pretty great. You meet, like, it's a bunch of references to different various, you know, classic fighting movies and stuff. And it's a great just management game. You're leveling different types of stats, and you have, like, whole talent trees devoted to, like, do you use quick attacks? Do you use strong attacks? Do you have, like, high agility versus speed? And it plays great. It's available for iOS as well, and it's a game. I only played it on PC. I played it for, like, 12 straight hours, so it's definitely one of those kinds of games, but it felt very fair. Just so you guys are prepared for it, it's all RPG management. There is no, like, you do fight, like, you'll go do a fight, but you have no control over the fight. It's all based on stats. You only control is you can choose which skills you're going to send him into combat with, but you can't choose to fire them at a given time or anything like that.
Do you know about the release of this game? Or, like, what they did?
It was like early access or something.
So they did like Twitch Plays Punch Club, and they would not release the game.
Oh, yes. We talked about this. Yeah. But yeah, that was cute. I suppose a lot of people were unnecessarily angry about it, but people were like, "Well, people
was
were
it worth the $10 price point?"
Or? Hostage was the quote coming out of there.
Oh, whatever. Twitch was going to beat it. If they beat Dark Souls and Pokemon, they were going to beat this.
No, wait, they actually beat Dark Souls?
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. Are you kidding?
Oh, I didn't know they beat Dark Souls.
They beat it, like, less than a month after they started.
Yeah.
Oh.
They had to switch it into, like, a turn-based thing, but...
Yeah, but, I mean, to be fair, like...
That's still really impressive.
Yeah, it really is. Although, I think that the original Twitch Plays Pokemon was the best, because it had the highest participation, which means the highest rate of trolling. The Helix Fossil.
The Helix Fossil.
Seriously.
What did they do with the Helix Fossil?
They made it into a god.
Yeah.
And then half the internet exploded with all praise of the Helix Fossil memes.
Oh, what?
Yeah, you need to look this stuff up. Like, seriously, go on, find a Reddit thread where they, like, kind of like those Eve threads where they'll just explain to you what all went down. It is hilarious.
It's the best.
There's some really good stuff. And actually, if you haven't seen the web comics that they made based on the Dark Souls playthrough, check those out, too, because they're hilarious. My personal favorite are the ones featuring
two skeletons, one of whom is trying to convince the other that he keeps seeing an adventurer roll past the hallway entrance. And the other skeleton is like, surely there's only one way for them to go. They'd have to come past us. This is all in your head, dude. And he'll turn and be talking to the other skeleton and you'll just see roll, roll, roll. It's just the player character rolling back and forth down a hallway because it's Twitch plays. They have a bunch of really great web comics on that. I highly recommend checking those out.
I have just two quick other games while I'm kind of up to bat here. I played the first episode of Tales from the Borderlands.
Oh,
that's really fun.
Yeah, I'm glad you're liking it.
Yeah, that was actually the first Telltale episode that I finished since Tales of Monkey Island.
Fair. I forgot that happened.
I love Tales of Monkey Island.
I haven't played it.
That is great.
Maybe I should check it out.
I hear you don't have to be a Borderlands fan to like this.
No,
game,
it's right? Actually, I've heard of people.
You should, though. You should have either played or know roughly the story of Borderlands 2. You really should.
And they kind of go over like who Handsome Jack is and
Let me put it this way. You can't fully appreciate everything in the game without having known without knowing the story pretty darn well. Yeah.
Is it laugh out loud funny?
At times, actually, in the first episode.
Not just at times. My roommate actually
through everything.
I've beaten the entire game. My roommate came out twice while I was playing through that game to be like, dude, you've got to stop laughing so loud. I was dying. I was in tears at certain parts of
the game. That's
good. I mean, oh my God. The writing is so spot on. It's so god dang funny.
And I like the first episode. I heard that's the weakest of them.
Yeah, by far.
So I'm excited to try more of that. Right after I finished that, I played the Xbox Games with Gold Xbox One game called Zeros.
Yeah, I did too.
It is awful.
Think? That's not how you spell zero.
Right?
Zeros.
It like
die.
It makes you want to like it because like the graphics are kind of engaging.
Almost like ratchet and clanky. Like they look like Captain Quark.
And then there's like some serious screen tearing, and the combat's terrible.
Awful. I played it for 5 minutes. I'm like, in recent memory, I've not had a game push me away that fast.
And then I almost didn't complete level one. Like, I forced myself to beat it, and then I was like, I'm done with
it. Did you play as the guy or the girl?
I started as the guy, and then I tried the girl to see if it was any different. It does not. But like,
It looks interesting.
Yeah, right. It's terrible. And like, if you look at the combo list, which is buried in
there's
the settings. Yeah, there's like,
I could not string together
there's like
anything.
Maybe 50 moves you could unlock and do these combos, and I'm assuming you have to actually like unlock them to use them, which is it just
does not play well.
Yeah, it's like you can do three attacks on one enemy and then like the rest gang up on you and beat the crap out of you.
Mm-hmm. Is it, what's the genre?
It's a side scrolling beat 'em up.
Yeah. That's exactly what I was gonna say. And it is terrible.
on a 3D plane.
I mean, aren't they all?
On the flip side, they gave
like going back to like Double Dragon.
Well, let's say,
hold up, Tom's got a flip side.
Dragon is 3D platform, right?
Yeah. Yep.
The other free game is Killer Instinct, right?
It is Killer Instinct. Also, right now,
all of season one,
you can get all of season two for $20. So that's half off.
Is Killer Instinct better than Mortal Kombat? Yeah, we played it a bunch.
That's not a fair question. Is Street Fighter better than Mortal Kombat?
Do you remember
is Sega better than Nintendo?
No, but I didn't play Mortal Kombat X.
Well, Sega does, but Nintendo don't. So,
can anyone answer any of these questions?
Are we playing with power?
Wait, so are you saying Killer Instinct?
Blast processing.
It's really personal preference. Killer Instinct is very combo heavy. You have to learn
what
everyone's attacks are really to combo break.
If you like Mortal Kombat, it's more like Mortal Kombat than
Street Fighter. Yes.
However, it's a much more technical fighter.
See, I think I like Mortal better.
I think Tom, if anything, needs to go to simpler fighters, not more complicated.
They have a mode in this now where you can just hit buttons and it'll do combos for you. Look really cool.
And Killer Instinct. It just
sounds like cheating.
Yeah.
I think the characters are a little better in Mortal too, aren't they?
Sure.
Depends.
There's a robotic raptor questions in a row.
Right. Tom is a fan of the subjective, though.
Yeah,
I'm just trying to create a conversation.
Tekken arguably has better characters than Mortal Kombat, except that Mortal Kombat has the best characters, except
Street Fighter has really good. Well, Mortal Kombat has the best characters probably out of any fighting franchise.
But now that Akuma is in Tekken and is a big part of Tekken.
Yeah, I know. It's great that they're retconning Akuma into being neat again because he is my favorite Street Fighter character. But let's not kid ourselves. Nobody gives a damn about Shadow Lou or any of that crap. It's all about the Mortal Kombat lore.
Yeah,
I do like the Mortal Kombat lore. Trust me.
The Mortal Kombat characters. Trust me. Seriously.
I'm getting
like outside of like a you're a bad example because you know everything. But if I ask the average person to name any Mortal Kombat characters,
tell me what the five realms are in Mortal Kombat.
No, people know Mortal Kombat. They know
Earthrealm,
NetherRealm,
Shadow Realm. Crap!
I don't know if Shadow Realm's in there. It's just NetherRealm.
NetherRealm, sorry.
Never saw.
I mean, I don't know. Who cares? Earthrealm and NetherRealm are the only ones that matter. Wait. Hold up. Adenia. Are you claiming that there's anything memorable about the Street Fighter story at all?
Yeah, so there's this thing called the Daijin
Just stop. Yeah, please. Exactly.
I think I'm getting that way wrong.
The best thing to come out of Street Fighter's story is the Raul Julia quote, "To me, it was a Tuesday."
It was a Tuesday. Yeah.
It's the best quote ever. But yeah, check out that terrible Street Fighter movie if you love awful, so bad it's good B movies.
Yep.
But yeah, I don't know. I think that Tom, for you,
Yuck.
I'd say Tom, for you, stay away from killer. Well, you could try it out since it's free.
It's free. I'll probably play it a little bit.
But I think
eight characters for free. So
yeah, it's a bit much. I'll put it this way, Tom. I can't play Killer Instinct. I find it overwhelming and upsetting how overly complicated it is to me.
Yeah,
especially like combo control inputs. It requires a lot of like crazy left stick movements, which I don't.
I think I'll like Mortal better, but I'll play it because it's free. You know, that's what it was.
Cool fact about Killer Instinct is any version of Killer Instinct that you have, you get it for free on PC. It's cross.
Really?
What if you have it on PC?
Then you have it on Xbox.
Really?
Yeah, it's cross buy.
I don't know why.
No, you said if you have it on any platform, you get it free on PC.
If you have any.
Do you actually get it free on console? It's totally free anyways on Xbox, isn't it?
Kind of.
Well, no.
Well, right now it is, yeah. Bit. So you can get season one.
Oh, I'm so Killer confused.
Oh, right.
Because it's on the Games for Gold. Crying out loud, how do you guys keep up with all this crap?
I really like Killer Instinct.
Yeah, I know, I guess. I'm glad that I just can look at one or two storefront pages and just know what's what and not have to check in on all these random.
it's what I
so,
do.
So speaking of random things Switching to check games. In on that are not part of my main two sites, the Humble Bundle is really, really good this year, this week, and you guys should check it out. It's a Firaxis bundle.
XCOM for $1.
You can get all of the XCOM games and also all of the Civilization games.
And more games to come.
Real good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, seriously, you guys, if you like either of those franchises, it's like $10 or $15 to get everything, or $10 for like the whole XCOM franchise.
It'll get you ready for XCOM 2 in about 2 weeks.
Yes, exactly. Well, I'm sure that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there, Max.
I just wanted to know if any of you heard of this game called Scrap Mechanic on Steam that is quickly rising in popularity. It is quite insane.
Are you playing it?
No, I am showing Henry a video of it, but it is a physics
kind of nuts and bolts
physics based vehicle builder. And it seems like there's some like missions and story stuff, and
it looks kind of like Minecraft meets like Lego Racer meets Banjo-Kazooie.
Yes, but you're not racing in it.
No, but it is heavily vehicular.
Oh no, it is. The point of the game is vehicular building and driving and things like that. But yeah, I don't know. It's definitely worth it might be the next big thing on Steam.
I guess for you young kids out there, instead of Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts, you can substitute that out for, what was that, Besiege?
Yeah, well, I got that.
It's like Besiege with the ability to jump out of your vehicle.
Right, but this is much more
developed.
Yeah, and a bigger world with a...
Sure, although probably arguably... Besiege had a little bit more polish, perhaps.
Maybe, but here's the thing. So I got Besiege in the first Humble Monthly, and it's so unfinished right now. I had no idea. Like, it's like one area is playable.
Yeah, that is very early
access.
That's
not accurate. There's been well more than one area for a very long time.
No, I played it a month ago.
There's like 8 levels or 10 levels.
Yeah, 8 levels of the first world, but like...
That's not one area. That's
I'm sorry,
areas.
I meant like one world, but they're right. Super quick and easy to blow through.
It depends on the level. And also, if you're trying to beat them all with a single vehicle, or if you're trying to make a custom vehicle for everyone.
That's fair. I just didn't realize.
That's a game to make your own fun.
How much, was left.
How did you not realize? It was everywhere. Like,
I never played it until I got it in the...
Oh, right. Because you got it for free. You didn't seek it out. Gotcha.
No, I got it.
$12 for it.
Well, but he didn't, like, go he and
didn't, I didn't specifically
it
was, seek it out. Yes,
it was part of the bundle. Okay, that makes sense. I mean, Scrap Mechanic looks interesting. I think that it's in such early access at this point, it feels like. Is it out?
I don't think it's in early access.
Because it doesn't look like a finished game to me at all.
I doubt it.
Oh, it is early access.
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding me? There's no way. Yeah.
I don't know. But, I mean, even how it looks now, it looks very fun.
Well, it looks like an early access game made in Unity.
I'd play it.
Are there survival elements to it?
Money says yes. Are there survival elements, Max?
No, it says it's a multiplayer sandbox game with imagination and ingenuity at its core. Create fantastic machines, transforming vehicles, or sneaky traps.
Yeah. Anyways, though, it looks pretty interesting, but I know nothing about it beyond Max's randomly bringing it up here. So.
Oh, it was just, yeah.
Did you play it?
No, it was a Kotaku article.
Yeah, there was a Kotaku article, and I watched a bunch of people playing it.
Gotcha.
I read some Steam reviews.
Looks neat. Anybody else play anything else this week that they wanted to shout out?
Yes. Diablo 3, we talked about last week how I... Yeah.
Crazy idea, and listeners weigh in on this, but we should only let Tom talk about a single game like maybe 10 times, and then he can never talk about it again.
No. We said it last week. We were like, we're going to check out the new area. Patch. New area is good. New patch is good. Yeah. No,
oh, wait. Did the ghostly area launch or whatever?
Did you actually play the new area?
Yeah.
Okay. I played Diablo 3 as well, but I only created a new seasonal character.
Yeah. I mean, I think the new area is cool. I don't know. I like the adventure mode, just like cruising around doing stuff.
But. So do I, but when you create a new seasonal character, you have to start at level 1.
Should I maybe finish this game? I think I'm on the desert level of my very first playthrough ever.
You should just start a new character. Yeah. That you can level a character to max in a day in
there. How do you do this? Can you please explain this on the podcast?
By not being hot trash and properly exploiting the difficulty system.
You can actually go straight into adventure if you've beaten
the main game.
But you don't get their season rewards for
I've never beaten the easiest way to power through.
Well, the fastest way to power, you need to power through. Or to get the full set stuff, you have to do all the season goals, and that's what you're really going
for. But that's not on console, right?
Sure, but if you want to level up to 70, it's not. Yeah, it's not.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
But no, the best...
I've never beaten the campaign yet.
What? Yeah, no, I know.
So just start over?
Yeah, just start a new character just completely. I mean...
Why start over?
So that you can get all the seasonal benefits when you finish
the game. It's on console. So it doesn't matter for you.
I'm on console.
Oh, yeah. On console, right?
Yeah. So seriously though, go to adventure mode and doesn't matter what. Like you just turn up the torment,
turn up the difficulty.
No, I mean no experience,
and it doesn't matter which act you do anything. Right. Okay, that's what I'm gonna do.
Just keep burning through that until you feel like this is too easy, and then go up a step.
Right. Oh, I don't even do that. I do the exact opposite. Actually, I do.
See what's too hard for you.
Keep turning up the difficulty until I cannot beat a level, then turn it down one step and then keep at that level.
The only issue, though, is that you can only go up or down one, right? So you kind of
you can only go up or down one within an instance. You don't even have to log out. You just have to leave the world. Like, you just go back to the menu and then go back in. Yep. Oh, sorry.
Oh, that's what I mean.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You're talking like in terms of WoW logging.
Phase out.
Are there seriously more than 10 torments now?
I think that it goes up to like 40, doesn't it? Am I crazy?
I might. It may be not on console because
they're all supposed
to be the same.
I could be crazy. Okay. I could have sworn that they added like another 10 torment levels like twice.
Torment like prestiging?
No, torment is the hardest level of difficulty, and then as it goes up by one, you don't have to beat the previous torment to get to the next one.
Prestiging is like the other thing, the paragon, right? That'd be like prestiging.
No, prestiging isn't like anything in Diablo.
Right. I guess
prestiging would be like if you reset a character at the beginning of a new season.
But Paragon is above 70 and you get more
bonuses. What it is Paragon is account-wide attribute bonuses that go to every character you have.
Which ones are worth playing? Because this needs to be established. Crusader?
Everything except for the Demon Hunter is worth playing.
Okay.
Demon Hunter is hot trash. I took you guys as dumb advice from the podcast last week and tried to like him because you guys are like, no, it's a twin stick.
You said it's a twin stick shooter. That's the one that's like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Except it's not even really that because he runs out of his resources constantly. Okay. I hate.
You should check out the new era. Bottom line. I thought it was cool. I mean, it's a cool setting.
I don't know.
I think there's only...
Yeah, it reminds me of kind of like a Backwoods Maryland kind of thing. Kind of like that Fallout 3 DLC.
I still don't get the cube. Like, I got that cube thing, and I don't understand...
You don't get it? Did you not play Diablo 2?
No.
Oh. It's used to combine items and get to secret areas.
Oh, okay.
You should look up some recipes for it. Also, it lists all of its recipes in the right pane when you have it open.
I should probably...
Should probably look at the item. Yeah.
No, that'd be big.
I think there's a quest to show you how to use it the first time.
There's only 10 torment levels.
There are only 10. Okay, I guess I'm very sorry.
It was originally like 1 through 5 or 6, and then they added
They added more in that sense. All right, I'm very sorry. I was wrong. Obviously, I don't play on the higher torment levels because I have really bad RNG luck. Well, it's because my RNG luck is terrible. I just cannot get... I have not completed a single set in that game like for a max level character. Yeah. I've gotten some sets at lower levels,
Have you guys seen this deal where people are cheating? Is that just a torment thing where they're just killing the game, or is that like a bug?
I haven't seen it.
It was on Kotaku. Vaguest thing ever.
I'll look it up on Kotaku. That was very vague. You talk about a different game, and I'll get back to me.
We are pretty much wrapped up here, so maybe we can talk about that next week.
Okay.
But yeah, that pretty much does it for what we've been playing, unless somebody else has something. I played really exciting.
Rise of the Tomb Raider, super exciting.
Nope, that is it.
That's it.
Hold on, I pull up this article real quick.
Oh, Tom, you're not going to read.
No.
It's
like playing with other people. They said, I don't know, I'm having trouble reading right now, but
you know what? This has been procedurally generated. We hope you've enjoyed listening to the show. Please be sure to check us out on Audioboom and iTunes and leave us a rating or review. Tell us how much Tom sucks. You can also follow us on Twitter @PG_show. Thanks, and as always,
play Flop Rocket.
Game on.